And be amazed at how you'll save on diamonds, watches, and more. You're the reason Breeds has grown and moved into their new 21st Century Expanded store. Breeds Jewelers, delivering superior customer service. Next to Belk on the top floor and Haywood Mall. Online at Breeds.com.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Mail is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch? Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Mail today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Mail, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMail.com.
Get ready for the Greater Malden Chamber of Commerce Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m. It all kicks off at the Golden Strip Career Center, rolls down Holland Road, and wraps up at Bridgeway Station. Enjoy marching bands, ROTC cadets, fire trucks, floats, a rolling car show, and plenty more. For the best view, grab your spot anywhere along Holland Road. Celebrate a season of joy, brought to you by The Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Carolina and all the ships at sea. How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you?
Honestly, I've been better. This is the worst ride here in the entire time we've operated out of this building. Uh-huh. This is my worst ride here ever today.
Bad, huh?
Ever. Absolutely awful. It's just one thing after another. There must have been 10 different things that I was stopped for. I left real early today, Ramona. I just got here. I mean, I left real early. I get here early. I am always here at least 20 minutes early. At least 20 minutes early. And I left earlier than that today. I left like 15 minutes earlier than that today. And I barely got here. I mean, and on top of all of it, I had hit every single thing. I had even hit a train in downtown Anderson. There's never a train in downtown Anderson. I even hit a train in downtown Anderson. I hit multiple stops where they're back again. The idiots with the tractors, they're doing like mowing, and they're backing into the road. And they're stopping major traffic in two directions. And of course, I hit it in both. And then and it was, like I said, one thing after another. Then I get to a spot, and there's a dump truck pulling a trailer, and there's nobody in it. There's a cop with flashing lights, and everything has stopped for that. So whatever happened with that deal, but it was one thing after another. And then I get down here, Ramona, And the car in front of me, it's either going to make the green light, and I'm going through the green light. I've got to get through the light because I'm at the train tracks. The way everything else is going, I just can't. I've got to get through this green light. I've got to make sure I get through this green light. The car in front of me, they just decided to stop. It was green. It was green. They decided to stop. And then it turned yellow. And when it turned yellow, Ramona, as before it starts to turn red, I hear the sound. And sure enough, another train. Another train. Just shoot me. Texas is a very appropriate name for the show. Oh, my God. I was friggin' steaming. In any case, I made it. All right. We are starting with Clemson basketball because that was the story of the weekend. All right. The story of the weekend was Clemson basketball and that tournament and how this team played and what they did. And big kudos to Brad Brownell and his bunch. Absolutely incredible. I have promised that I would sort of reveal what Nick Davidson's actual issue is. And I will, because it is his issue and no one's brought it up, including coach. Nick Davidson played well in the second half, by the way. Hustle points, rebounding the ball, 9 rebounds and whatever he played, 18 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever he played. 9 rebounds. I think he had 9 rebounds. He was really instrumental in the second half. You know, he dove on the floor, Larry Bird style, and it was kicked out for 3, and it was all good. It was all big, and I'm glad Nick Davidson is finding ways now to help this team win. But he's way more talented than he has shown yet, and this is going to be a part of this broader conversation about Clemson basketball. But so I will skip right back to this. But let me just say, Clemson plays 2 really good basketball teams. They find ways to win both games. They're trailing. They're completely different opponents. West Virginia is a half-court team. The plan going into this game, as we identified last Friday, and then Brad Brownell reiterated before the game when he was on with the broadcast team, was they wanted to get out and transition some. They did not want to let West Virginia set up in the half court because their half court defense is too good. So that was the plan. I don't know if that plan really came to fruition. Clemson had to find a way to stay connected defensively in that game, and they did. The offense wasn't always good against West Virginia, but Clemson needed to stay connected and continue to basically match West Virginia's defense with your own, and that's what they did. And then got to a point at the end of the game where you needed one guy to step up and make some shots. And look, that's an advantage of having 10, 11 guys that can play. Sometimes you can find that guy. And Clemson found that guy in Carter Welling. Welling stepped up enormously down the stretch. Obviously, Gottfried had played well earlier in the game in keeping Clemson connected, but it was Carter Welling down the stretch against West Virginia who hit big shot after big shot in a game that was, again, more of a bloodbath, tug-of-war type game, and that's what we saw. And then you come back Sunday, and you're going to play a Georgia team that's the exact opposite, a team that wants to go up and down a million miles an hour. And early on in that game, it did not look good. I mean, Clemson had trouble with Georgia's full court pressure. I think Clemson had trouble maybe adjusting from the way West Virginia played to the way that Georgetown played on the way that Georgia played on a short turnaround. We already played Georgetown. The way Georgia played on playing Georgia on a short turnaround and facing that degree of full court pressure and the speed and the athleticism and the quickness of that Georgia basketball team, which was evident. Not only that, but the shot making was evident. I mean, good grief. The game on Sunday, as good as the game against West Virginia was, the game on Sunday was just unbelievable. And, you know, when you're listening to Scott Williams and whoever that Dolt is who's doing the play-by-play, I don't know who he is. That guy couldn't identify a Clemson player all game. He continuously misidentified every Clemson player all game. At one point, he actually called R.J. Gottfried Porter on the low block. He said, Porter spins and lays it in. Porter. He confused Porter and R.J. Gottfried. Now, look, I have to use reading glasses. This dude needs like magnifying glasses on his eyes. Because if you're confusing Porter with R.J. Gottfried, then you need to not be doing that job. If you're that blind or that disconnected, I don't know. But, look, I was not pleased with the officials. I was not pleased with the broadcast team. I was really pleased with Clemson's basketball team. Really pleased. I mean, again, I thought this was a completely different test on Sunday. And look, there were times Clemson just played awesome defense on Sunday. It didn't matter. The Georgia shot making was so frigging good. I mean, they hit some shots that were just impossible. Absolutely impossible. Whitebread's out there hitting a 35-footer. Whitebread hit a 35-footer. He was guarded, and he hit that shot. It was a 10-point lead when he took that shot for Clemson. He misses that shot, and it might be an 18-point game. Instead, he hits it, and next thing you know, Georgia's ahead, and now Clemson's trying to come from behind. But Clemson is not Princeton, you idiots. I mean, that's how they set the stage for that before the game. Georgia's just going to want to run, and Clemson's just going to play the opposite. They're going to want to slow everything down. Okay, how did we get to, like, 100 points being scored? No. Look, that's the thing. This is not your father's Oldsmobile Clemson team. This team can play any way you want to play. You want to go up and down? Clemson will play up and down with you. Clemson will accommodate you. Clemson, largely, in terms of the way this game was played, the speed at which this game was played at, Clemson largely played Georgia's game and beat them at their own game. That's what happened. Clemson did not win the game. They said, if Clemson's going to win, it's going to have to be in the low 70s. Bzz, wrong answer. Wrong answer. This team is, and then at one point they're talking about, oh, the incredible Georgia depth. What about the Clemson depth? Clemson's playing two lines too. Clemson's playing 10 guys too. You schmucks. So, early on, the start of this game, Georgia scores 24 points in the first 9 minutes. They then went another 9 minutes where they basically didn't score at all. But they scored 24 points in 9 minutes. And Clemson had trouble early on adjusting to the full court pressure, adjusting to the team speed that Georgia was displaying, all the trapping and everything else. But as the game went on, they did a better job getting the ball to the middle of the court and affecting Georgia, making Georgia pay for the pressure. As the game went on, Georgia's pressure was no longer being rewarded. It was being punished. That's what happened. That's what happened. Clemson was getting good looks off of Georgia's pressure, and they were not pulling the ball out and saying, oh, we can't run with Georgia. You know, no, we'll break the press and let's pull the ball out. No, that's not what they did. They broke pressure and they attacked, and it's exactly what they should have done. It's exactly what they should have done. And so, I was thrilled, absolutely out of my mind thrilled. I was on social media the entire game. I must have posted like 1,000 tweets. I don't know. Every single thing. It was incredible. And really, again, Clemson basically, look, before the season, Brad sort of casually mentioned that he could play Buddy Johnson at the three if they went smaller, and basically that's what he did. He went to a three-guard lineup. You had Wallin and Gottfried. Welling, who was the star of game one, Welling didn't play for like the last, I don't know, like 15 minutes of the game. He didn't play. Not because of anything he did wrong. He was playing well. He was defensive rebounding. He was playing well. But because other guys stepped up and played well, mainly because Buddy Johnson in Clemson going small and basically playing three guards, but playing Buddy Johnson at the three, if you will, and Wallin at the four, Clemson did a really good job, I think, putting the extra ball handler in the game, attacking Georgia's pressure, beating Georgia off the bounce. Clemson was doing these things and getting good looks and hitting them. Clemson scored 17 points in a five-minute overtime. That's impossible. That's what they did. Hey, I got a newsflash for you, Scott Williams and Bozo, whoever the Bozo was. I got a newsflash for you. You don't score 17 points in a five-minute overtime because you're playing like Princeton. Nay. I think one of the questions going into the Sunday game was, look, everyone has known, I think all year, any idiot can see Clemson has baseline talent. But I think one of the questions about this team before the year was the guard play. I think one of the big questions heading into Sunday was Clemson's guard play against Georgia's seemingly elite guard play. Because that's where, on paper, it seemed like Georgia would have had the advantage. Nay, that's not what happened. In fact, Clemson's guards actually sort of won the day in the second half. And Porter and Butta Johnson and Dylan Hunter, those three guys balled their A's off in the second half of that game. They were terrific. Justin Porter hit big jumper after big jumper after big jumper. And I said, the last time I spoke to Brad, I said, look, I get these people are basically worried about Porter. I said, I'm not worried about Porter at all. It's clear to me Porter can just flat out shoot the basketball. Just because we haven't seen it go in yet doesn't mean that dude can't shoot the basketball. And he's got a quick trigger. Plus, he's tough. Porter's tough. He's a tough little dude. He's feisty. He's competitive. And I love that. But look, I'm going to tell you the theme for the two games. The theme is that Dylan Hunter played great floor games in both games. Yeah, there was a little adjustment period in the first few minutes of the Georgia game, but Dylan Hunter played terrific floor games in both games. And I don't know if it shows up in the stat lines. I don't know. I don't care. A lot of the onus of those two games, because of the way those two teams played, again, it was different. West Virginia's more this bloodbath, tug-of-war, half-court deal, but, again, really physical defense in a different manner. And Georgia's this up-and-down, full-court pressure, in-your-face, trapping, very different type of games. And yet Dylan Hunter was the guy who, more than any other player, handled all of the various defenses and all of the various pressures he faced throughout a flawless performance for the weekend. Dylan Hunter was a flat-out baller. And then on Sunday, down the stretch of that game, he made every free throw, too. And basically, Clemson made every free throw. Waleen missed one. And I think he went 3 of 4 down the stretch. But Clemson basically made every free throw when they needed to hit every free throw in that type of game. But those guards, the Justin Porter and Dylan Hunter and Butta Johnson, those guards all played their A's off. And Butta Johnson's defense was outstanding. Outstanding. Everyone's talked about it. He scored double figures in consecutive games. Forget that. It wasn't just that he scored double figures. His defense, his on-ball defense was outstanding. His off-ball defense was outstanding. I mean, he was locking dudes down. He was moving his feet. He was leveling guys off. There was only one moment where he went under a screen on White Bread, which he couldn't do. That was the one faux pas. But he came down, hit a three after that, that basically said, okay, I know I made a mistake, so I'll just drain this three. Those three guys played the best basketball of their lives on Sunday. Those three dudes have never played better. Dylan Hunter's never played better. Justin Porter has never played better, and Butta Johnson has never played better than they played in that game on Sunday, because Clemson doesn't win that game unless they match the guard play, and that's what happened. That's what happened. The one question. So guess what? I don't have any more questions about Clemson basketball. This team is a problem for everybody else. They are going to be a big-time problem for everybody else, and they haven't figured it out yet. There are elements that they have not figured out yet that are just coming together. And look, there are further and bigger tests down the road. But this team passed this test of this tournament in the most glorious possible way. I mean, they answered every call. When down 10, they just played hard. They stayed in the game. They stayed connected. And eventually, the shots fell. But that thing Sunday was just amazing. I mean, you talk about a shot-making clinic. I mean, there were times Clemson's playing great defense and Georgia's hitting shots, and I'm like, man, what the blank? You know, I can't believe that shot went in. And yet it wasn't an accident, because I saw him do it like 20 times, and much of it was contested. And so it didn't matter. You know, you played great defense and they still made shots, so you weren't going to necessarily win by holding them to 70. You were going to have to score. And you were going to have to take advantage and make them pay. And again, early on, Georgia's full court pressure benefited them. As the game went on, Clemson tortured them with that full court pressure. That's what we're talking about. Jerry and Anderson, you're up first.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
Industrial Motor Service keeps production lines moving. Just ask Champion Aerospace.
It's always a pleasure talking with the staff at IMS. Every interaction is professional and courteous. They've helped us through many emergency situations. Always quick to respond for pickup, repair, and delivery.
For reliable service, expert repair, and a team that's there when you need them the most, trust Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com. Industrial Motor Service. Trusted, tested, dependable.
Harrison's is the home of work, Western, and wow! For nearly 30 years, our family has been boots on the ground when it comes to work. The key to our success is great partners like Ariat. We have the largest selection of Ariat in the Carolinas. Need comfortable work boots? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Want to show out at the rodeo? Can't go wrong with Ariat. Looking to wow on date night? Yep, Ariat. Work staples, Western favorites, and casual style to wow any crowd. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or online at harrisonsusa.com.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
I'm Glenn Reese with Krispy Kreme Donuts in Anderson and Spartanburg. We're open 7 days a week. Pick up some delicious donuts and a cup of coffee. We'll help you raise money for your club, church, or group of worthy cause. Sell Krispy Kreme Donuts. Call Spartanburg and Anderson Krispy Kremes.
I'm a donut nut, I'm a donut nut, I'm a nut for Krispy Kreme.
Currently car shopping? State Credit Union now has auto loan rates as low as 4.25% APR. Plus, you'll have no car payment for up to 90 days, just in time for the holidays. Visit one of State Credit Union's 19 full-service branches or their website, scscu.com, and apply online for your new car loan today. That's scscu.com. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Electrical components are out of sight and out of mind, but hidden dangers can lead to melted components or worse, a house fire. Davis Services is passionate about ensuring their customers are safe in their home. That's why they are offering their electrical safety inspection for the low cost of $139. They utilize the latest technology to find potential hazards, including those hidden behind the wall of your home. Call Davis Services today to ensure your electrical service in your home is safe. Call 864-578-9233 today.
Hello, Medicare recipients and ROAR listeners. Gary Mahaffey here with Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Are you turning 65 soon? We can help. Have you reached your 25th month on Social Security disability and received notice your Medicare will begin soon? We can help. You have both Medicare and Medicaid or low-income subsidy and have just been notified that your status has changed. We can help. Have you recently moved or will be moving soon out of your Medicare service area? We can help. You have a chronic condition of the heart and or diabetes? We can help. If any of these apply to your current circumstances, please give me a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484, and we will help you with your issue.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it deep, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the race, and he for 76.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Walt Dipchula, Road Rage, we are back. You want in, 654-7627. I got a lot of texts on this. I'll get to them in a couple of minutes. But and I'll also address the Nick Davidson thing, because I don't think anyone has hit on or even come close to hitting on what Nick's actual one issue is. But I thought he played a significant role in the second half of the game with his hustle, with his rebounding. But I'll tell you what I think has been the dilemma with this offense to this point in the season, and I think it's pretty clear. But it has been it has not been spoken anywhere. It will be in a couple minutes. Jerry and Anderson, Jerry. Jerry, how are you, Jerry?
I'm good, Walt. How you doing?
Good, Jerry. Appreciate you getting in.
Watching the game yesterday, well, I told Ben about this earlier. There's been teams in the past, even the past couple of years, as tournament teams, and again, I can't tell you the guys' names. I don't remember. There were times when there were certain people that would come in. I'm like, oh no, I don't like this. I don't like who's in there. I don't like defense. Where the points going to come from? But this team right here, I don't feel that way. I'm happy with whomever is in there right now. I think this team is probably as athletic as a team that I've seen Coach Cornell have in a long time.
Am
I right in my assessment?
No, you're right. I mean, look, Foster is the most talented player on this team. Foster did not play a big role down the stretch of this game. I mean, he hit a few big shots. I don't know what he wound up with, but it was really the other three guards in this game, and that's how it's going to work. Look, last year there was no bench. Last year, you know, when Dylan Hunter got hurt, this team fell apart. Because the bench pieces were guys like friggin' Chauncey Wiggins, who just, quite frankly, was terrible, was just awful. I mean, when Dylan Hunter got hurt, this team just literally crumbled because there was no bench. Now you have 10, 11 guys to pick or choose from. And so it's going to continue to be different guys. You know, there'll be games where this guy's playing well, and if he's not playing well, guess what? Here's the advantage. You know, last year, for example, if a guy's not playing well, guess what? He's going to play 30 plus minutes anyway because you have no choice. This year, if a guy is not playing well, means he's not hitting his shots, whatever he's not doing. This year, you just bring somebody else in.
You mentioned Ned Davidson, and while I'm not going to try to guess what you've seen, but I'll tell you what I've seen again. Without his hustle yesterday, his tenacity, not letting go of the ball.
That's right.
You know, just going after it. You know, you may not win that game. You probably don't win that game. He saved a couple of possessions. But the one thing that I guess that I saw from Nick in the few games I've seen him play is he's a little bit unsure what to do with the offense, whether he's a scorer or he's a passer. And I think his feet, will come. I think I see a little bit of not a lot of quickness in his feet right now. But again, I'm not worried about him. This team's going to go a long way. Ned Davidson is going to be the reason this team wins quite a few games. And so that's just what I see. Just, and I need to just know what his role is right now, whether he's a passer, or a when to do those things.
Yeah, I think you're right around it, Jerry. I think you're pretty close. And I'm going to explain what I'm talking about in a couple of minutes. But thank you, Jerry. Good job.
Okay, thanks, Walt. Take care.
Yep. I'm going to tell you what Nick Davidson's issue is. All right, Lee in Old School, I'm coming to you. The issue that Nick is having early in the season reverts back to a few years ago when you had P.J. Hall and Joe Girard on a team of guys who wanted to run. They were half-court players. They were walk-it-up-the-court players. And Clemson had to wait for them offensively because they were the two best offensive players. So that was how Clemson played. So they would wait for P.J. Hall and Joe Girard, and then they would run their offense. And then most possessions, you'd go into P.J. Hall, you'd want him to get a touch. That's how you played. Now, you played high-low, too, but the point is those two guys were walk-it-up-the-court type players on a team with other guys who wanted to run. What you didn't have was this type of depth. That's what you didn't have. See, Nick Davidson came from a system where the ball went into him, much like it did here to P.J. Hall. More half court, ball goes into Nick Davidson, offense runs through Nick Davidson, that type of thing. That's not what's happening in the early season here because you've got 10 new players, and they don't identify Nick Davidson as P.J. Hall. Okay, and you have 10 guys, and you have other guys who are all looking for theirs and sharing the ball, but Nick Davidson is the walk-it-up-the-court guy. He's the half-court offensive player, whereas some of these other guys, these other bigs, are full-court players. They run, and when R.J. Gottfried gets the ball, he's looking to attack the rim, and when Carter Welling gets the ball, he's looking to hit the three from the top of the key or drive the ball, yoke the ball. That's what he's looking for. Nick Davidson is more of a half-court player. He's more of a walk-it-up-the-court type player. And so he's trying to find his role on a team that is not running their offense through him. In other words, this team's not coming down the court and say, first thing, let's get the ball into Nick Davidson. That's not what they're doing. That's what this team would have done, did do when P.J. Hall was here. And they didn't have the depth, and they were running more half-court offense. They had to. This team doesn't have to. If you had substituted Nick Davidson for P.J. Hall in that team back then, Nick Davidson would be scoring a ton of points. The ball would be going to him in a low block. Clemson would be playing half-court offense through him. That's not where this team is right now. This team has 10, 11 different players. And I don't want to say they're all hunting their own, but again, they all think themselves capable. And so, you know, there are elements that look like guys hunting their own. It's not selfish basketball. It's just that they're talented is really what it is. They're talented. And so you're not playing a ton of inside out. You're not coming down the court, walking the ball up the court, saying, let's go into Nick Davidson. Now, in the second half of this game the other day, there were times down the stretch where Clemson did go into Nick Davidson, and he had several balls just roll off the rim. Nick Davidson is a very skilled low-block offensive player. He also can hit the face-up jumper from three. He's capable of both of those elements. But if you go into him with the ball, he can turn guys every which way but loose. He can shoot with his left hand. He's very skilled. He's going to get to the free throw line. I think eventually these things are going to happen for him. I think when these guys, again, I think this is a feeling out process. This is a getting to know each other process. But that's where Nick is being hurt. Some of these other guys, like a Gottfried, a Welling, a Waleen, they can run the court. They run the court. That is not Nick's strength. His strength isn't running the court. So offensive-wise, in terms of what his skill set is, he needs people to almost wait for him a little bit. and then to go into them. I think Clemson can find the union of both of those things as the season goes on. And I think Nick will be more and more effective as a low block scorer, and as soon as he becomes more effective there, I think you'll see him start to knock down some of the three-point looks that he's had. I just think he's trying to find his role on a team that is playing at a faster tempo than probably he thought, and certainly maybe even than Brad thought, especially in this Georgia game. Now, it's not going to be like that every game. Not everyone's going to play like Georgia. There are going to be other games that are more half-court games and are probably more conducive to posting up Nick and letting him do his thing. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this guy can still turn people every which way but loose, and he did it on several possessions there in the second half where he took a little left-handed hook, etc., and the ball just rolled off the rim. That's the shot you want. You want the ball into him. You want him doing his thing on that low block. He is going to be a very, very capable and very efficient scorer on the low block. I think at the start of this season, he got a couple shots rejected. I think there was a period where he had to adjust to the speed and the athleticism of this game and the teams he was facing versus the teams he was facing and the things he could get away with before. I think he knows that now. I think he knows that he just can't turn into a defender and shoot over him. First of all, I think he's 6'8", not 6'10". So I don't think he can just turn into a defender and shoot over him. I think he has to do the Pete Newell big man camp arsenal of moves, and he has that arsenal of moves, but he's going to need people to actually look for him, to look for him. I think that's going to come. I think that's going to come. And right now, every game is different, and there are 10 guys who can play. So, you know, each game is different in that regard. And so I don't think Nick is – he's the guy who has not yet found his what his role is. Early on, those first couple of games, it looked like he had. He was the leading scorer. He was averaging 14-7. But as the competition ramped up and the athleticism ramped up, it changed the nature of the games. It changed the nature of the games. And when you're in a wild full-court game like Clemson was in against Georgia, that is not going to benefit – a player like Nick Davidson. And yet Nick made big plays in the second half with his hustle, with his rebounding, that Clemson does not win the game without him. Clemson does not win the game without him. So I'm pretty sure that Brad needs him to be patient at this point and basically know that his offense is going to come, because it is. It's going to come. He's very skilled. He's very skilled. It might be next game. It might be next game, but trust me when I tell you, there are some games coming where Nick Davidson's going to score 17, 18, 20 points. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not going to be that Georgia game where it's this wild up and down affair that's a guard-oriented game. It's not going to be that game, but it's coming. It's coming. And again, I think that's the nature of what he's dealing with right now. This team is not the Clemson, stylistically, is not the stylistic team of P.J. Hall and Joe Girard, where, again, you had this mix of guys. There was never this great balance. You had to decide what you wanted to be, and Clemson was not going to run down court ahead of P.J. Hall and Joe Girard. Those are your two best offensive players. So you waited, you played patiently, you played half-court basketball, you went into that. Last year's team had no depth at all. So those guys are going to play, and they're going to get the ball. This team is different. You know, Nick Davidson might only play 18 minutes on a given game because there are 10 guys playing. So it's just going to take a little longer because, again, Nick is more a traditional walk-it-up-the-court kind of player, post him up, go into him, let him do the Pete Newell big man camp moves and get to the free throw line. All those things. He is absolutely capable of that, and I think at some point here you're going to see that. But that's the adjustment that Nick is having to make, and it's the adjustment this team is making. Because, again, there have never been 10 guys who could play here. Never. In each game, you're going to, look, Buddy Johnson was not a factor for this team until this weekend, and then suddenly he was. Trust me, Nick Davidson's time is coming. All right, Ron in Old School, we just lost Lee. Lee, get back in, Lee. What are you doing? All right, Ron in Old School, as soon as we get back. Quick break.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Steelstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Steelstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Steelstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilA.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
It's the time, Tiger fans. Football season is here. Make sure your tailgate machine is ready for the season with a trip to Pendleton Tire Company. Whether it's tires, brakes, or that lift kit and wheels you've wanted, Pendleton Tire Company can take care of all your needs.
Hey, Tiger fans. Get ready for football and tailgating on a new set of tires from my daddy at the Pendleton Tire Company.
Listen to Cruz and go see his dad and the team at the Pendleton Tire Company in Pendleton or online at PendletonTire.com.
Have you been charged with a criminal offense? The legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. You could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
It's that time of year again. It's time to start thinking about Seneca's Half Marathon and 5K. It's coming 2026, March the 14th. You've thought about it. Maybe you made a resolution or thought about maybe doing your first half marathon or 5K. Well, here's your year to do it. Sign up today. And what better way to give a present, too, if you'd like to give a stocking stuffer for the race entry? You can do that. Go to runsignup.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. 313 is a major sponsor with us, along with Henry Ramirez and all the gang at Upstate Medical Associates, our two official sponsors, and Sansi Cooper is also involved. It's going to be a fun day. You can check out our website at Race for the Green at Seneca SC Events on Facebook. And if you'd like to know more information, just go to our website at seneca.sc.us. Make a resolution, make a commitment to do your first 5K or half marathon and a relay, too. You can find it all at www.seneca.sc.us. It's Race for the Green 2026, March the 14th.
Your fantasy roster is set. The smack talk is heating up, and this season, ESPN Bet is giving you more ways to ride with your squad. Introducing the ESPN Bet Fan Center, where you can instantly link and bet on your fantasy teams right in the ESPN Bet app. An enhanced sports betting experience only from ESPN Bet, the sports book for sports fans. Download the app and link your ESPN Bet and ESPN accounts to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Talk about stepping up!
Bang! Bang!
It's time to level up your game. Introducing the all-new ESPN app. All of ESPN, all in one place. Your home for the most live sports and the best championship moments.
The electricity is palpable.
Step up your game with no annual contract required. It's the ultimate fan experience. Level up for more on the ESPN app or at stream.espn.com. Sign up now.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
So in other words, this team's not waiting for Nick to set up in the post and to go into him, okay? They're moving the ball, they're driving and kicking, they're taking threes, they're attacking the rim, and they're playing in transition. It doesn't work that way right now. And because there are 10 guys, again, who are all sort of still figuring out their roles, it does not work that way. And he's the guy more than any other that is suffering in terms of style of play, not suffering in terms of the end game result, which is winning. But suffering in terms of his personal numbers and his personal offense. Basically, some of that's being surrendered right now because that's just not the way this team is playing. Now, there are going to be games that this team plays more like that. You know, that Clemson's not necessarily going to be able to speed up, that Clemson's not necessarily going to play in transition. There will be other games like that, and Nick Davidson will become a bigger factor. And at some point, he's going to knock out some threes. And that's another part of his offensive arsenal. He's perfectly, you know, we've seen Carter Welling hitting these threes from the top of the key. Nick Davidson is every bit as good a shooter as Carter Welling is from the perimeter. Every bit as good a shooter. Probably better. But at least as good. It just hasn't gone in for him yet. I said the same thing about Porter when I talked to Brad last. I said, look, people are writing me saying, well, Porter needs to stop shooting. I said, no, the opposite's true. I said, he's the pure shooter. You can tell. And he's got an incredibly quick release. I said, he needs to shoot the ball. And obviously, Brad agreed with that. And, well, you've seen him shoot the ball. You saw him shoot the ball the other day. So, and obviously, Porter was enormous in this tournament. So, you know, Porter in this tournament played a bigger role than he had previously. Buddy Johnson in this tournament played a bigger role than he had previously. Dylan Hunter in this tournament played a bigger role than he had previously. All three of those guys were absolutely instrumental. Trust me, Nick Davidson's turn is coming. There, you will see games where Clemson, where he gets off on offense, and maybe it's he hits three first. I don't know. But you'll see games coming where Nick Davidson is more involved and Clemson goes into him offensively, and those little shots that he took in that second half that just rolled off the rim, he can make those in his sleep. He's very skilled. He can shoot with either hand around the basket. He has the full Pete Newell big man camp arsenal down there. He's capable of that. See, and the thing is right now, Brad doesn't need that. He doesn't need it because so many other guys are scoring in so many different ways. So this is a very, very different team than any of these teams we've seen in recent years. It's just not constructed similarly at all right now, at all. It's a completely different basketball team. And it's not a team that's going to wait and set up in the half court for one person to run their offense through because there are 10 guys who can all play. So Nick just needs to settle in and find his comfort zone. And his teammates need to see that too. And they will. Because at some point, they're going to go into Nick. Nick's going to hit a three or something. Then they're going to go into him two or three times in a row. Each time he's going to score and get to the foul line. And then you're going to start to see more Nick Davidson. That's coming. It's coming. He's still a little bit out of sync with the rest of this group in terms of the way this team is playing. That's the bottom line. Let me tell you about Lakeside Lodge Clemson. It has nothing to do with this physicality. I've seen people have asked me, well, is it a lack of physicality? No, it's not. Lakeside Lodge Clemson is a condo hotel in Lake Hartwell, located on Highway 123, right across the lake from Clemson. Pricing starts in the high 200s. Great as a vacation condo, investment property, or both. Save $40,000 with our condo sale. Act now to enjoy $20,000 off the price. Another $20,000 in buyer incentives like a rental subsidy or interest rate buy down. We have studios available from $280,000, two bedrooms from $499, three bedrooms from $690. Lakeside Lodge Clemson's unique concept blends the ownership, the vacation condo, the amenities of a resort. The resort includes in-house bar and restaurant, traditions on the lake. It's amazing. Pool and hot tub, fire pit, meeting space, fitness facilities. There's also a small-scale football field for families to enjoy, expansive outdoor area for tailgating on game days. Lakeside Lodge is a place where people who love Clemson can gather for game weekends, lazy days at the pool by the lake, a week-long vacation, or a friend's wedding celebration. Condo owners have the option of renting out their unit while they aren't using it, or with the case of most of the 2 and 3 bedroom units, owners can lock off portions of their condo so they can use part and still rent one or two of the bedrooms depending on the unit. Great for parents who want a nearby place to visit their college student. 888-786-3648. 888-786-3648. One last thing on this. So in other words, if you could have gone back in time, put Nick Davidson on that team with Joe Girard, and there was no PJ Hall, that offense would have run the exact same way with Nick Davidson as it did with P.J. Hall. And Nick Davidson would have averaged 18 points a game. They would have been going into him. He would have been doing his thing just like P.J. Hall did. and they would have been playing more in the half court. Ron, is it Ron? It's old school and then Ron. Old school, old school. How are you, old school?
I'm great. How you doing, Walt?
Good, old school. Welcome in.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Like, I know you studied a lot of film. Do you think Clemson should get it, that guy that I saw the end of that Furman game a chance? I'm just asking a question, you know.
I think that there's a good chance that Denson is Clemson's starting quarterback 2 years from now, old school, but he will not be Clemson's starting quarterback next year, because if he is, Clemson's going to be a 6-6 team. He's not ready. I mean, people get all excited about Furman. I mean, he's an athlete, and he made some plays with his legs, but he completed 4 passes for 20 yards, and the first job of a quarterback is to throw the football. It's not just to run the football. And I think he has ability. I don't think there's any question he has ability. He would be my 2 next year. Vezina would be my 3. That's how I would look at it going in. But the 1 is not on this team as yet.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I'm just saying, he don't mind getting a hit. And with our type offense, he fit it good.
Yeah, he has ability. There's no question he has ability. But he also has never started a football game, and running for a few yards against a Furman team that doesn't match your athleticism does not make you a starting quarterback for a year against major college football.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yep, thank you, old school. Good talking to you. Yeah, I mean, the starting quarterback for Clemson next season is not on this team, all right? That ship has sailed, okay? This is obvious, all right? It's obvious. I know people got all geeked up watching Chris Denson, and I get it, but he had a 50-yard run against Furman, okay? That's not quarterbacking against real football teams, all right? Western Carolina, one of those teams Furman played, beat them 52-7. Furman took some beatings, all right? Let's not act like Furman is a real team right now with a real defense, because they're not. And I respect the Furman program, and I respect the coaching. But and somebody could come in and say, yeah, but Walt, you know, Vezina didn't do anything against him. Your argument for Denson as a starter next year is to convince me that Vezina didn't do anything against him? That's not an argument. That's not an argument. Okay? I'm just going to be clear as day. If Clemson goes into next year, and look, I had some people, Kool-Aid Jim wrote me and said, well, no, it's going to be one of these guys. No, it's not. Because if it's one of those guys, Clemson's a 6-1 team next year. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're going to have a repeat of this season. I think Denson has ability. I think he has ability. I think it's conceivable he's the starter 2 years from now. He's not started or played even in a regular game against a like opponent. That is an enormous jump. He completed 4 passes for 20 yards. I mean, that's just not happening. All right? It just is not. Again, could he be the starter 2 years from now? Yes. Does he have talent? Yes. Is he in any way going to be ready to be the starting quarterback for Clemson next year? No, not a chance on God's green earth. The starting quarterback is not on this team. That's the answer to the question I asked last week. The starting quarterback is definitely not on this team. And if he is, then you're winning 6 games again. Ron, how are you, Ron? Good to have you.
Hey, good to hear you, Walt. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Miss Ramona.
Same to you, Ron.
Great one.
Same.
And what a great weekend for our Tigers sports program. I hate it that the men and women's soccer teams ended the way they did. No. I got to see some of the ladies' soccer team, and it was real good. But yeah. I was real happy for Brad Brown. Now he's been in so many of these preseason skirmishes and come up on the wrong side of it. I'm grateful that he had a W, and I had a basketball question and a football question for you.
Well, I would, Brian, just to that though, I would say he's come up on the right side of most of them. I mean, I think Brad Brunell is one of the 5 or 6 best coaches in all of college basketball in the nation, and I think people realize that now. I mean, Honestly, the program that has the most juice at Clemson right now is men's basketball. I mean, that's the program that has the most juice out of all the programs, including football, yeah, including everything. That's the program that has the juice, and it's because of that dude.
Well, I would agree with you on his coaching, but my thing is, it seems like I've watched so many games where our guys would be right there at the end of it and come up on just 2 points down, losing the game by two, losing the game by three or five, and this time they won it, and I'm happy for them. And it's like, my question to you is, I saw, looking at the box score, it looked like our defense let us down there a little bit. Was that just weariness, or did they miss some shots? What did you see with that?
When? I'm not sure. Were you talking about Sunday against Georgia?
Yeah.
No.
Sunday against Georgia.
Clemson's defense was terrific against Georgia. It was a fast, up-tempo game, and Georgia made shots that I've not seen anybody make in college basketball in a long time. I mean, they are just a team full of frigging shot makers, and they hit some impossible shots. I mean, shots that are well-defended, guys in their face, and they're draining them anyway. And they're just really a group of shot makers, and they're going to pose everybody trouble with the way they play. So just to have won that game, to have found a way to win that game, I think was enormous. But no, there was no lack of defense. I mean, Clemson, there were guys that were just tightly guarded that were just hitting impossible shots. Like they hit some shots, Ron, that I watched and I thought, okay, that's got to be luck. He didn't mean to bank that. And then he banked it three more times, you know. And I thought, okay, it's going to be hard to turn these dudes off because they're a team full of shot makers. No, Clemson's defense actually all weekend was really good. It was Sunday, which is just a really unique kind of game.
Right. I appreciate that analysis on it. I was thinking about, I know what you said about Denson, and I agree with you. We were playing Furman. Yes, he got two touchdowns in 5 minutes, but we were playing Furman. Could you see him with the red shirt rule being what it is and him having the possibility of playing four games, could we see him and Cade in a Wildcat option this coming weekend?
Thank you, Ryan. I've got to run, but I'll address you on this side.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina, with exceptional golf in a beautiful setting, along with the casual Overlook restaurant offering quality dining available for weddings and meetings. On Facebook or at ChickasawPointGolf.com.
Roosters wants to help you give the perfect gift this holiday season. Stuff those stockings with gift cards and shave kits and get their gift boxes for under the tree. Get 10% off products from now until the 24th of December. Give your dad or man in your life the gift of feeling good this season at Roosters. Roosters Men's Grooming Center, located on 3935 Pelham Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Call them at 884-8920 for your next appointment.
Clemson Tigers know pride. We feel it under the lights when our players charge down the hill and every note of Tiger Rag on Solid Orange Fridays and in the tracks of our Tiger Paws. The Clemson Jackpot is one more way to keep that pride alive. Every $5 scratch-off funds education, helping future Tigers carry on our traditions. And now it's easier to play by paying with a debit card at participating retailers. The South Carolina Education Lottery, supporting Tigers, students, and you. See the Players Club app or seeducationlottery.com for game odds and more information.
Sending your student to Clemson? Why rent when you can invest? At Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus, you can own a brand new home starting in the mid-300s. Perfect for game day weekends, visits, or future rental income. Build from the ground up and personalize it, or move in.